Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Good morning, and praise the Lord. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2024. My name is James D. Newcomb, and we are continuing with our journey through the book of Isaiah, the book of Genesis, and the book of Proverbs. We begin with the book according to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 13, verses 2 through 13. On a bare hill, raise a signal, cry aloud to them. Wave the hand for them to enter the gates of the nobles. I myself have commanded my consecrated ones, have summoned my mighty men to execute my anger, my proudly exulting ones. Hark, a tumult on the mountains, as of a great multitude. Hark, an uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathering together. The Lord of hosts is mustering a host for battle. They come from a distant land, from the end of the heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole earth. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty it will come. Therefore all hands will be feeble, and every man's heart will melt, and they will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in travail. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation, and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pride of the arrogant, and lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make men more rare than fine gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. We turn now to the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verses 4 through 21. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and sent forth a raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put forth his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Go forth from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring forth with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. So Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, and every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves upon the earth, went forth by families out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. And our final passage for this morning is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31 through chapter 11, verse 12. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope perishes, and the expectation of the godless comes to naught. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked gets into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Reading that passage from Isaiah reminded me of a conversation that I had with a fellow in Virginia. My wife and I were traveling, and we came upon a rest stop of some sort, and there was a man. He had a table set up, and he was selling, or he was really raising awareness for a ministry that he had. He had some things for sale, but he was really there to just raise awareness for his ministry. And he said something along the lines of, I sometimes wonder if I am consumed with money, or if I'm overly concerned with money. That wasn't exactly what he said, but that was the essence of what he said. He was concerned that he puts too much emphasis on money. And my reply to him was this: the fact that you are conscious of it means that you're probably okay. Meaning, the fact that he's even asking the question, to the point where he's asking essentially a complete stranger, confiding this moral dilemma within, means he's okay. It means that his heart is in the right place, that he's conscious of it. We read about these awful things that are going on in the land of Israel in Isaiah's time. And let's not sugarcoat it. They are awful. And God is saying this through his prophet, Isaiah. And he means it. He really means it. He's not he's not bluffing. But in spite of all of this, in spite of all of the wickedness that was going on, there was a remnant of righteous people who hadn't forgotten. the right way to live, the righteous path. It's the people that completely forgot, weren't even conscious of the fact that there is a God that has standards of holiness and righteousness. Those are the people that Isaiah was talking to and saying that you are in danger of the judgment. Those of us who are aware of it and are conscious of it and always conscious of our infractions and our sins, it's not like it's not serious when we do sin, but when we are conscious of it, that's a good thing. When we feel that conviction, that pain inside when we do something, when we err in our thinking, our actions, our words, that pain that we feel inside is a good thing. It means that we're conscious, we're aware of God's holiness and his righteousness. And in all humility, we say that we are not among those who have forsaken the Lord. We are among those who remember the Lord and always lean upon his grace and his mercy. Maybe I am completely off base. Maybe I was out of line to even say that to that gentleman that we met at that gas station in Virginia. But thinking about the condition of Israel during Isaiah's time that we've been going through this last week and a half or so, maybe 2 weeks, Monday through Friday, it just made me think of that. These are people who just completely forgotten about God. They're like, God is the furthest thing from their mind. And that's a very dangerous place to be. It's a very bad place to be. It's a place I never want to be. My name is James D. Newcomb, and you are listening to Good Morning and Praise the Lord. This is, I guess you call it a sub-show, a sub-podcast, for lack of a better term, from the Overtly Orthodox Media. We have another podcast called Overtly Orthodox, and we're just getting started. As you can see with this podcast feed, it's not even 2 weeks from the time that I'm recording this. Each morning we go through passages of Scripture, and it's wonderful. I love doing it, and I hope that you enjoy listening to it. So, as is our custom, we will close today's brief podcast with the Lord's Prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.